First, by way of introduction, when we are baptized and receive sanctifying grace, along with the infused both theological and moral virtues, sanctifying grace also includes the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The text to which the Church regularly appeals is the prophecy of Isaiah. Says Isaiah, "A shoot springs from the stock of Jesse. A scion thrusts from his roots. On him the Spirit of Yahweh rests, a spirit of wisdom and insight, of counsel and power, of knowledge and the fear of God." Over the centuries, the Church has identified 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Directly speaking, as found in Isaiah, the gifts are applied prophetically to the Messiah. However, as baptized Christians, we share in what Christ himself possessed. In other words, Christ, as the God-man, possessed as God everything that his creatures could expect to obtain. But as man, Jesus possessed sanctifying grace. Did Jesus possess the virtues of faith and hope? No. He did not, to say the least, need them. However, Christ did possess the virtue of charity. He possessed the 4 moral virtues about which we've spoken in our last 2 conferences. Christ also possessed the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are, we teach, these gifts, the common possession of everyone in the state of grace. Israel, therefore, to know that those in the state of mortal sin do not have the virtue of supernatural charity. They do not possess the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is a parallel text in the Fathers of the Church. Is a passage everyone moved by the Spirit is a son of God. That's St. Paul's letter to the Romans, 8:14. The logic of the Fathers of the Church was that for the sons of God to act supernaturally, they must be directed by a higher the natural disposition is a supernatural disposition that operates on a level corresponding to our, and we use the adjective, divine dignity. This disposition to act like sons of God is assured, and assured permanence by what we call the infused gifts of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the same God who gave us his friendship when we were baptized gave us the built-in inclination, disposition, tendency, habit, spontaneous habit, to act according to his divine will. Now, to get more specific, if we look upon the virtues as faculties or powers of the soul, in every soul, in a state of sanctifying grace, every soul in sanctifying grace has a share in the divine nature of God. Know the word share. In other words, no less than the human body must have a soul. Otherwise, what had been the body becomes a cadaver. So the soul must have its principle of divine life. And that principle of the divine life in our souls is the Holy Spirit dwelling, as the expression goes, in the souls of the just. In other words, the one who gives us the divine life that we received at baptism is the Holy Spirit. He dwells in our souls. What he produces, watch it, he produces a created effect in the soul. And that created effect we call sanctifying grace. What a pity, as I've said so often, in our English language, we don't have, well, a term corresponding to holiness. We don't have a term corresponding to holiness. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, in our coin the verb, holifies us. And the best we have is sanctifies us, makes us holy, which means makes us as much as we creatures can be like God. Sanctifying grace is the created effect of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It makes us in our being. Our nature becomes a supernature. However, corresponding with sanctifying grace, which is the principle of the supernatural life in our souls. In the words of Augustine, as I've said before, sanctifying grace is the soul of the soul. It is our soul gives our bodies their natural life. So sanctifying grace gives our souls a supernatural life, otherwise known as a share in the very life of God. However, corresponding to sanctifying grace as a principle, PLE, of the supernatural life of our souls. When we're baptized, we also receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts correspond to the instincts or supernatural impulses which urge, incline the virtues into action. Over the years in teaching the theology of divine grace, the hours I would spend in comparing the natural powers that we have with the corresponding natural urges or inclinations. The soul has powers, but the soul must also have inclinations to put these powers into action. On the level of our supernature, the instincts that we receive to put the virtues, that is, faith, hope, and charity, to put prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance into action. The inclinations we receive to put these supernatural powers into action are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Consequently, we see that without the virtues, we would not have the power to perform supernatural actions. We must have the power. Those are the virtues. And to have these powers as habits, as supernatural faculties. So without the gifts, you will not have the interior impulse to put these now above natural virtues into practice. I want to repeat, because this is so crucial, everyone in the state of grace possesses all the seven virtues about which we have spoken as supernaturally infused gifts, as supernatural powers. But everyone who is in the state of grace also possesses the correspondingly seven impulses to put these virtues into practice. And consequently, anyone who loses God's grace by mortal sin always loses the virtue of infused charity. A single mortal sin deprives that sinner of the virtue of charity. But, and that's why I want to repeat, every mortal sin deprives the sinner of all seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is why, as I've said so often, everyone in mortal sin is an agent of the devil. Because that person is deprived of the divinely infused impulses, inclinations to practice virtue. Having over the years taught demonology, I could give you a whole retreat on the corresponding vices. The seven corresponding vices, as compared with the seven virtues, I could speak for days about the seven demonic inclinations to dwell for hours on this subject. For we're living in a world whose evil cannot, I repeat, cannot be explained or accounted for on purely natural level. Evil spirit has never, and one modern pope after another, especially Pope John Paul II, emphasizes the power and influence of the devil in our age. We go on. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The standard definition of the Church: the gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural habits which perfect the soul beyond the virtues by making the soul ready and responsive to the invitations of divine grace. I think it is worth repeating the definition. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural habits which perfect the soul beyond the virtues by making it, the soul, ready and responsive to the invitations of divine grace. Hear it. God is constantly, and the Word is constantly giving us His grace. But needless to say, we are not always responding to these graces. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, therefore, are those blessed inclinations that we received already at baptism, urging us, inclining us. Do I use the word impelling us to respond to the grace of God? Let me further explain. First of all, they are supernatural because they are infused with sight divine grace, and there is no way that a person can acquire these gifts naturally. And to have these, I repeat, to have these seven blessed inclinations to respond to God's grace, you must be in the friendship of God. Secondly, there are habits. Habits possessed by everyone in God's friendship. We normally and understandably speak of a habit as, well, the performance of a good action regularly. In the order of nature, we have what we call acquired habits. And you acquire a habit by repeating the action. In other words, the more often you repeat something, the more, well, you develop, what else? A habit of doing it. Over the years, in our Jesuit institutions, see in my studies and teaching of theology, some 200 Jesuits in one school of theology. The bell rang, and then, as I've said before, my St. Ignatius norm, he gave a letter unfinished. It was dinner time, he got up for dinner. Afterward, you got used to it. You could predict, and almost without any mistake, who would be the last ones to show up for dinner. And I've never said this publicly, when I kept my eyes opened, those who are last to show up for chapel were usually the first ones to show up for meals. The gifts are supernatural habits which you don't acquire by repetition. You either have it or you don't. And for the fourth time, I want to repeat, and only a person in the friendship of God has these seven supernatural inclinations of the Holy Spirit. We said the gifts of the Holy Spirit perfect the soul. What do we mean by making the soul supernaturally more complete, more like the soul of the holiest human person we ever lived, the Mother of God, and more of the holiest human soul of a divine person, the soul of Jesus Christ? Did Mary have the gifts of the Holy Spirit? She sure did. Did Christ have the gifts of the Holy Spirit? He did. Finally, I'm still analyzing the definition. These gifts of the Holy Spirit make the soul and watch the terms. Prompt. Eager. Prepared. Disposed. Four crucial adjectives. Prompt. Eager. Prepared, disposed to respond to God's grace. And I know human nature too well, mainly because I know my own, but also because over 50 years in the priesthood, thousands of souls have entered my life. How desperately we need not just the grace of God, but the promptness, the eagerness, the preparedness, the disposition to respond to God's grace. Nothing, as we've said and I want to emphasize, nothing in our lives ever happens. Nothing. The verb to happen is a pagan word. God is beneath, within, behind everything in our lives. We never have a thought in our minds, never, actually, because God mysteriously wants that thought to be in our minds. Are all of the thoughts in our minds always good thoughts? No. And talk about being prompt. There is no aspect of our rivers of life that should be more ready, more prompt, more prepared than our minds to respond immediately. Every thought, 2 seconds is too long. The moment a thought enters our minds, immediately we should realize, is this a thought that God wants me to keep in my mind, or is it a thought that He wants me to remove from my mind? What a question. What a question. Are bad thoughts graces from God? Oh, please, watch your language. Yes. They are blessed opportunities that God gives us to do His will. But you don't delay. You respond, and I repeat the adjectives. You are prompt. You are ready. You are eager to, well, deal now with this thought. And I repeat immediately. And there is one strong recommendation, and I'll continue making them throughout the retreat. In the name of God, master your thoughts. Recognize from the moment, and I'll repeat, but change the noun. 2 moments is too long. the memory of a photo of mine immediately, spontaneously recognize it. It is a thought you should keep or a thought you should dispel. And needless to say, one thought that is most frequently, most, shall I add, constantly on our minds is the thought of ourselves. I've taught too many religions for too many years not to know how we've got to constantly struggle with this temptation to self, and I mean it, self-adoration. Before we leave the definition, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we've been saying, are the seven divinely infused inclinations to respond immediately to God's grace. Really, God's grace is telling us to embrace something, or God's grace is telling us to endure something, or God's grace is telling us to reject something, or God's grace is telling us to surrender, sacrifice something. Before we go on, there are two principal forms of God's grace in our lives. The illuminations for the mind and inspirations for the will, and that is silent, pure Catholic vocabulary. Our minds are never, and never, by repeat, never thinking alone. The Holy Spirit is always thinking within us. And how we need to recognize, shall I say, the voice of God when He's speaking to us. God's grace has come to us as I repeat, illuminations of the mind, but also as inspirations for the will. And how we are to use our free will in responding to this grace. And hear it. We will be only as responsive both to God's illuminations for our mind and His inspirations for our will as we are closely, deeply, dearly united with God. You've got one more full day to go. You'll need it. We need to realize both the virtues and for our present purpose the gifts of the Holy Spirit only as strong as our union with God is deep. And whatever else you resolve as the result of this retreat, use every means at your disposal until the last moment before eternity to grow in holiness. As I was coming into chapel for the present conference, I cannot tell you how happy, how word, how thrilled I was. Do you see what I see? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became the Son of Mary, right here. And I repeat, only one full day to go. Go in holiness. And be sure that your principal source of grace in this valley of tears is who else? Jesus Christ. There is no other way, no other way than our paganized nation can be restored to Christianity. No other way than our murderous nation, the actual number of abortions in America is over 15 million. There is no way, no human power, no political genius will restore Christianity to our de-Christianized beloved nation. Only the Son of God can do it. Only He, as He said, can overcome the world. And He's here, receive Him as often as you can. If it is really possible, daily, spend some time with Him every day. All of this was the introduction. Now we'll explain the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but more generically than specifically, which is coming. Four of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, specifically wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel are gifts of the Holy Spirit for the intellect, for the mind. Verse 3, namely fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord, are gifts for the will. In other words, well, I know I've taught too many students for too many years, and some with extraordinarily good minds. Question. Does every person who has a good mind, does everyone with a good intellect spontaneously want to grow in knowledge? No, I can prove it. I've said this before. The laziest faculty in human nature is the mind. We therefore need supernatural, call them drives, call them inclinations, his intellect to incline our minds to think the thoughts of God. And then correspondingly, there are three inclinations for the will. Now just a word, but each of these seven gifts will be closed as evening's meditation. First, the gifts for the mind or intellect. Wisdom makes the soul respond to grace in contemplation of God's truth with joy and spiritual relish. I'm just giving you definitions. Wisdom is that gift of the Holy Spirit which makes the soul respond to grace in the contemplation of God's truth and respond to this with joy and spiritual relish. The gift of wisdom is meant to be a foretaste of heaven. And we'll go on, accept the next gift of understanding. This gift prompts our faith to believe more firmly, more clearly, and more deeply. And how we need this gift of the Holy Spirit to urge us not just to believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So, the gift of understanding inclines us to grow in believing, but believing more clearly, more deeply, as I've said. And how it pains me to say this, should Israel receive the facts from Washington listing all the religion books, catechetical series published in the United States, approved by the Bishop's Department for Catholic Education in Washington. As I read that facts list, my first response was, my God. Among the approved books was one I well remember. Here we were retreating in Dallas, Texas, and I had occasion, by invitation, to speak to the catechists of the large parishes in Dallas. Some 30 of them, all lay people. After talking for about a half an hour, I asked for a copy of the textbooks they're using. So they gave me one, big shiny title, God. So I paged through the book, God Creator. God is Creator because He makes things new. Not one word about God being that almighty, almighty power. And these were did not exist into existence. Zero. Nothing. How we need to grow in our understanding of our faith. Third gift. The gift of knowledge. This gift inclines us, enables us to see everything as coming from God and leading to God. Do we ever need this gift to see everything, everyone, as somehow coming from God? You can't be serious. Yes. Christ is a man through his gift of knowledge. So, in the true Roman soldiers, nailing his hands and feet to the cross, as coming from his heavenly Father.